There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. As we get started with this hour, too, an update from the traffic story on the Bayway last hour. And Leanna updating us, and it looks like coming in on the text line as well. Their life flight, the medical helicopter, has landed on the Bayway. Eastbound Bayway is closed. Once again, eastbound Bayway is closed, and life flight there on the Bayway. So God bless those folks as we look at this situation out there. We'll let you know as it gets to moving again. But once again, eastbound Bayway is closed. We've been, 30 minutes or so of that out there. So do take the causeway or just stay where you are because right now the eastbound Bayway is closed. All right, good to get this show host, author, journalist, bomb, provocateur on Twitter on back on the show. Our friend April Marie Fogel joins us. Hey.
Great to be with you.
Good to have you on as well. And there's a lot of things I miss that April Marie does not miss. And I was looking at the subjects we talk about today, and I figured we'd talk about the debate coming up, this, that, and the other. And so I get this from April Marie. She said, yeah, well, what do you think about that viral story about the lady who picked up her husband from the airport and then got out of the driver's seat and let the husband get in the driver's seat? And then I looked at this thing on Twitter. This is insane. 9 million views. Okay, I'd say that's viral. What's the story here? What's going on?
Okay, so a lady goes to pick up her husband from the airport and gets out of the car, kisses him, and then immediately goes to the passenger seat. And the world is losing their mind over this because I guess for some people this isn't standard, but this is just what happens, right? Like, I can't imagine in my head a circumstance in which I come to greet you, pick you up at the office, and I say you being a man, and even just friends, I'm going to have the man drive every time. And apparently this isn't standard. I didn't know that.
I think it is. It's standard. I guess it has been in my life. I've never... It's one of these things like when I open the door for a lady, I don't think about it. It's somewhat reflexive, right? It's a home training or those kind of things. And I have always defaulted, unless there's some reason, right? I mean, it's not like there's no reason, but I will always drive, whether that be, a girlfriend or my mother, anybody that I would naturally drive, unless there's there's some reason, if somebody needs to drive. But what's happening on Twitter is people are saying that's sexist or something like that.
That's sexist. Yeah. Like why would the woman do that? Why not just, go to the airport, let the man get in, you kiss him and you drive off with the woman still in the driver's seat. And unless the man is drunk, mm-hmm. or otherwise incapacitated. I once had a friend who had a couple DUIs, couldn't drive. So he got a pass.
Well, that's your case. Yeah.
But aside from that, I refuse to drive men. I think it's one of those traditional gender role things where it's the man's responsibility to drive. Now, luckily for me, I don't have too many people in my life who are just terrible drivers. I guess that would change things, right? Like if you were constantly sideswiping people, mm-hmm. or I didn't feel safe with you. But otherwise, 100% of the time, a man is driving.
Okay, so that's the ride home from the airport. The one where there were challenges in my past is the, hey, I can drive, long road trip, right? And I remember hearing that about me. They're like, she would say, oh, Sean will not, you know, you get to wherever, you get to Disney or whatever, and they'll say, how was the ride? Well, he wouldn't get out of the driver's seat the whole time. But they didn't, it wasn't major. It was just pointing out that I would say, in the, yeah, it was kind of reflexive. I was like, no, I got it. I got it. Unless, I mean, I was falling asleep or something, you know?
There, yeah. And that's one of those, if you're going on a long cross-country trip and you are maybe taking turns, that, you know, that's different too. But a quick pop around town, even an hour or two. And I think it's not that I'm just a weak little lady who doesn't like to drive. It goes back to the men are protectors and providers, and there's just a protective role to the man being in control of the vehicle.
Yeah, I'm looking at a text here, Mr. Plott on the text line, and I wonder if he interjected this into the Twitter or the X, you know, that I'm looking at, the back and forth here. He said, it's not about sexism, it's about respect for women. I wonder if that would blow some minds out there, say, out of respect for women, it's why you would drive. Yeah, I wonder if it's not a disdain, it's not in diminishment, it's out of respect. That's interesting.
Well, this is one of those areas where feminists have ruined all the good things, right? Oh, I can get my own door. I can pay my own bill. I can drive my own way. Well, yes, I am perfectly capable of doing all of those things, too. I just don't want to. And I think it is a sign of respect for the man you're with to do it. I've got two sons and a daughter. I'm teaching my sons to hold the door, and I'm teaching my daughter to stand at a door because I feel like it is a matter of respect and kindness.
Yeah, it's and I wonder that it's how you see the Mr. Plott's text is interesting because it depends on where the mind is. Somebody might jump to a conclusion, like I look here on Twitter, people saying that is the man saying that the woman is somehow diminished or not the same versus saying, out of due respect for this person, I'm going to do this task, right? I'm going to shoulder this load.
Well, and it's how did you get to this point where this is what you're doing, right? Because if it's one of those, oh, women drivers, you're just the worst, you're awful, move over, I'm not getting in a car with you. That's a very different position than, hey, sweetie, I'm going to drive. You sit back and relax. And, you know, play on your phone and change the music and all the things. But I think it's just 9.2 million views for this one, what should be to me, non-controversial thing.
It, you know, you do the talk radio thing, you watch this stuff. These are the subjects, pretty interesting, because right now, and we will talk about the debate, but we could talk about, you know, two wars on the planet, other war, you know, wanting to pop off. Julian Assange, we could talk about the state of the dead in the country. And they get some calls, and then you get text, and you get some Twitter activity. But you mentioned things like this, and it just goes berserk, that at a key level, with all those other things going on out there, that this is what people are more, that they got an opinion on, that they're interested in.
Well, because other things going on, there's always, kind of as you said, there's always something going on, right? And it's when there's something immediate, a sense of immediacy about it, I want to hear about it and I want to talk about it. The Julian Assange thing is interesting, but this goes to, how are you raising your kids? How are you raising your grandkids? Have you talked to your son lately about what he's going to do when he's old enough to be driving girls? You know, do you talk to your daughter about when she goes on a date? These are everyday things that we just sometimes take for granted, I suppose.
Okay, well, there's a whole nother subject that we can start that over at Twitter, that the older child, my daughter, was pretty interested in getting her license. Not as interested as I was, but still interested in getting the license, getting wheels. The younger, so she's 18, but my younger and the kids his age, some are interested, but like I'm like, hey, y'all want to drive the car around the farm? You want to do this? They're like, yeah, okay. I'm like, when I was that age, all I could think about was the freedom of getting off the BMX bicycle and getting to dad's truck and going for the night. You know,
There was a study about this that I just saw. I was looking it up because I bookmarked it on Twitter. There was a study about this. All of the things that we were really excited to do that our kids are like, meh. And part of the reason for the madness is their parents haven't given them that, they haven't let them off the leash, right? So they don't understand the great wide world that's out there once they have that independence. They're not all excited about the independence. They're perfectly content sitting on your sofa playing Xbox, right? And I want this, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I've got, you've been to my house. I've got mm-hmm. a decently long driveway. My kids will steer down the driveway. Like, my 11-year-old is in constant conversation about what her first car is going to be, and is she going to get it when she's 15 or 16, which, by the way, it's going to be a Toyota or a Camry or, you know, some equally 1990s reliable vehicle.
Yes. Or the fact that they get, like, I jumped to this with my daughter. I said, you're just assuming you're getting your own vehicle. You know, I got dad's extra, you know, I drove, when I was allowed to drive something, a long bed, you're talking about unsexy, a two-wheel drive, long bed, bench seat, Dodge Ram. That was what I was allowed to drive because he had a company car so I could drive his regular truck. So I only could drive that one.
You want to know how that would have been hotter?
How?
The only thing that would have made that hotter if it was a Dodge Dakota.
No, it was a Ram. And I'm old enough it actually had the Ram hood ornament on it. That was the old days.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Looking through a text here, too. So T-Bone says, let's see if he is not trying to start a problem, I don't think. He said, it's not about sexism. It's that women can't drive.
That's what I said earlier. Those are fighting words there. Even if your woman can't drive, what you got to do is you got to pretend you're doing it, to be kind, right? Like, hey, sweetie, I just want you to sit back and relax. In your head, all day long, you can be like, and, you know, get away from the clutch. But you can't say that out loud. That's just mean.
This texter says, if the flip side here, if the feminists were to drive with my wife, they'd let me drive too. There's a ton of these coming in. We'll get to these later on in the show. I do want to talk about it. So y'all go check this out on April Marie's. You've retweeted it. I know I'd sent it out as well. If people want to go find and get into this string conversation over on Twitter.
Yeah, it's just at April Marie, APRYLMARIE. I'm just surprised that this is conversation worthy and that people are like genuinely have hurt feelings about this.
It's probably, you listen.
No.
It's probably
women
more.
Women do not drive. Annoys me.
Yes.
So much. It is a pet peeve.
Who would you let drive the car? Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Oh, Donald Trump. He'll run people over. Joe Biden will drive us into a ditch.
So there you go. You've made that choice. And speaking of the debate, no studio audience. It's stacked against Trump, obviously, but I mean, I don't know how he's going to riff without having reaction. You know, I mean, I know he can do it, but gosh, that guy feeds off of energy, even negative energy.
Look, one of my favorite debate moments in the history of debates is Trump and Hillary talking about tax breaks and how Trump has taken advantage of the tax code. Do you remember that moment?
I do.
It is cemented in my brain as one of the best moments because he didn't have to be, he wasn't aggressive, he wasn't, he was kind of like, he just, I don't want to say, it was so good, I didn't have a word for it, but he was like, yeah, I take advantage of every tax break I can get. I have pulled every trick allowed, and your donors and your friends have too, and if you wanted to fix it, you could have.
Yeah, beautiful moment.
If that,
it's called
if
honesty.
That's
honesty.
Yes. If that Trump shows up for the debate, the Trump that speaks truth to that, like that, then we're going to be in good shape. If he wings it in the way in which, you know, he says undisciplined things like that, we're going to give everybody who gets a college degree a green card, then he has shot himself in the foot and he's in trouble.
Yeah,
I think he needs. He needs the momentum coming out of this.
I did wonder with that story, talking about, you know, we need the brilliant people, we'll give you a green card. It seems to be the same kind of stretch that I commented on Biden administration, what was it, a month ago, they all of a sudden, they said, oh yeah, we're going to get real tough on the border. And I said, number one, it didn't mean anything, didn't go through, but the politics of that, I don't think that would have got, there wasn't somebody out there that heard that and said, well, I guess he is going to get tough on the border. I'm going to vote for Biden now. At the same time, he PO'd, you know, the people on the left and the people that fund the Biden campaign. Same thing here with Trump. It's like a unforced error. Why even say that? I mean, you're not going to get people who weren't going to vote for Trump to all of a sudden go, well, if he's going to give people with a, you know, they get a college degree, a green card, now I'm going to vote for him. I don't think either one was a smart move politically.
I think that, both of them just walked right into a mess of their own making. And you're right. It didn't help either of them with what they needed or what people wanted to hear. And good God, I was like, Trump's Dreamers plan. This is just Trump, you know, Trump giving us his own version of Dreamers. And I'm not okay with this because then we're going to end up with all those. And he said even 2-year degrees. And here's the problem. A degree ain't what it used to be.
Right.
You can go get a degree in just about anything right now, right? Like, as long as you put a DEI stamp on it. I studied, you know, African feminist knitting of, you know, male private parts. Trump wants to give that person a degree, a green card? That doesn't seem good.
Well said. April Bree, people want to gauge these conversations with you online. How do they find you?
At April Marie on Facebook and Twitter. That's APRYLMARIE. And Sean, in case no one's told you lately, you're overdue for a vacation. I need to guest host.
Okay, you heard that. So when I'm out, y'all send those texts like, why is Sean gone? It's because April Marie needs to come in and spell me for a while. All right, we'll work on it. I'll be texting you soon.
Bye, darling.
All right, there she goes, April Marie Fogel, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 124 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Heads up here. Maybe there's never been a better time to get on an electric bike than when it's, what is the heat index right now? Like 102 or something out there. So my buddy Clint Jameson, Adventure Earth Bicycles, you've heard me talk about him over time. He's now increased his stock of e-bikes to 75 at any given time. Sometimes it's over that, but it's never below that. Used to be 50, now 75 at any given time. A bunch of different makes, models, and they're like different. Same thing with regular bikes, right? You have bikes that are better for on the road or on the street or a hybrid or off-road, those kind of things. Same thing's true in the e-bike world. But in addition, different e-bikes have different components, different ranges, the batteries. So there's a bunch that goes to it. The great thing is my buddy Clint is like a genius at this stuff. So if you go in and say, here's what I want to use the bike for, he's going to be able to point you in the right direction, the bikes that are top shelf, quality bikes, and the ones that he knows works for people who have the same needs you are, whether you're taking them when you take the RV somewhere and you want something just to get around town, or you're taking them off road, using them in the woods to go hunting, or, you know, you're using them just to get around town. He's got the e-bike for you and also 400 of the non-e-bikes in stock at any given time. He is right there at the corner. The store is, and he's probably there right now because he's always there, at the corner of Little Flower and Airport in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Bruce Chris. The website, adventure-earth.com. This is the guy I got my e-bike from. I want you to go check it out and do the same. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. A lot of text here on this. See, I mean, this just like Twitter. Everybody wants to talk about this story. If you didn't hear, April Marie was talking about she said, hey, did you hear the thing that's going viral? And I was like, duh, I don't know. And it was, this first tweet was, this lady just picked up her husband from the airport, kissed him, and immediately went into the passenger seat. And then 9 million views later, people are back and forth about that. Do you think that that is... And a lot of people say, well, that's normal, or out of respect for women, or this or that. And then people say, well, that's sexist. Your thoughts on this, on the text line. This says, I'm a professional driver. This texture says, I'm a professional driver. And when I'm off, my wife drives everywhere. I tell her she can't afford me to drive. That's true. You've been driving all day for work, so I get it. And you'd have to bill your wife, and then you'd have to, yeah, that's like it. Let's see. The Real Sam says, I also walk on the side of the street while walking down the sidewalk with my wife. Yep. I do the same, Real Sam. That all comes from, you think, it comes from home training. Gosh, my parents are old school, and I learned those things, you know, sometimes with a smack to the back of the head, but I learned them after time. Let's see. Chris and Daphne says it's a pleasure and a kindness to open a door for a woman. It makes me feel good. Yeah, there's that part of it too, right? Like I tell my kids about charity. Dad, why don't we do this? I said, because think about how good you feel after you help out other people. They're like, yeah, you're kind of right. Let's see. Pat says, I drive my wife's car more than she ever does. Fire Dog, my man, said my first chick magnet car, which, by the way, I have a friend who has a vehicle still called the chick magnet. It is not a chick magnet. He said my first chick magnet car was a 1978 Chevy Caprice station wagon. My man. Dad had, the reason I got to drive that, the old Dodge pickup truck, is Dad got a company car, and he had the Caprice Classic. They get a new one like every 2 years or whatever. My favorite was the baby blue Caprice Classic with the white top and the plush cloth interior. That was styling in the 1980s. Let's see. Ben says, I don't mind driving at all. Just don't tell me how to drive. Well, there is a question, too, is if you're driving, do you control? I think you control the radio. If you're driving, you control the entertainment. That's maybe got me in arguments over time, but you know, then I say, well, I'll just turn the truck off. John says those who say women can't drive, may Danica Patrick have mercy on their soul. There you go. Yes, on many reasons. Still updates coming from the Bayway. I think it's still, we had that report a little bit earlier, and I know Cheesewagon trying to say, I haven't gotten those updates. I see where you're texting. I don't know if it's opened yet, but y'all, eastbound Bayway was closed, and there was a yes. And Leanna's saying what? It's open. Okay, it's open. They're moving emergency vehicles out of the way. So eastbound Bayway is open. All right, very good. There we got the update. Get right back to your text and more stories when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and time to check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Okay, Blaine, as two of us that spend time on equipment, if you needed a reason to sell a cab tractor or a skid steer that's enclosed with air conditioning, Mother Nature's done that job for you.
Absolutely. Right now, it's not hard. but because this heat, I tell you, I went home yesterday evening and tearing down some fence, and if I wouldn't have had that cab, I would have been drenched in sweat. I'll tell you that.
You know, the other nice thing about it, too, is if any of us have run equipment for any period of time and you hit the yellow jacket nest in the ground, and you happen to be in the enclosed cab tractor, and you watch them just throwing themselves against the glass, and you laugh and laugh at them. It's a nice moment.
That's right. You wouldn't be laughing if you were on that open cab now.
No, I've been there and I've been lit up by them. So, how's the inventory right now on equipment with air conditioning?
Inventory is great right now. We've been getting in the enclosed cab high flow skid steers here lately. Really been moving some of those. Enclosed cab tractors as well. All this qualifies for that zero interest financing. But also, we have also been trading in a lot of tractors, zero turn lawnmowers, enclosed cab skid steers, and some excavators here lately. That, you know, if you're not in the market for brand new, we do have used, and that all are able to be financed as well. Also, if you're in the market for a tractor, you own a tractor, even if it's a different color tractor than Kubota, we will trade it in. So, you know, feel free to stop by and see us. And if you're not interested in purchasing a piece of equipment, we have a fully stocked rental department as well that has all the different tractors, skid steers, excavators, trailers, a little bit of everything, man lifts, all the way down to handheld tools. So we got a little bit of everything for everybody.
All right. Well, tell folks how to find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale Highway 59. You can come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 till 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon. Or you can give us a call at 251 947-4171.
Appreciate it, Blaine. We'll check back soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine Price at Paris Tractor over in Robertsdale. There's a lot of text to get to here. Let's try to get to these, and then we can get to a couple. We'll hit the Julian Assange thing a little bit, maybe. If not, we'll dive into it tomorrow. So Mr. Plott on the text line sounds like he's the same as I was. He said he turned 16 on a Friday. His parents didn't get home until it was too late to go to the driver's license bureau, so he had to wait the weekend. And guess what? They're closed on a Monday. He said, my mom thought she was going to have me medicated when he turned 16. Yeah, so how about this one? You want to get here's a punishment for you, right? So I didn't get mine until I wanted my driver's license more than I wanted air, Mr. Plott. But I screwed around and maybe had a get-together. Mom and Dad were not at the house, had a party, and got caught having the party. And one of my labors of Hercules punishments was a six-month delay on getting my driver's license. I was already the youngest kid in my class. I graduated when I was 17, and a six-month delay. I'm getting ready to be 52, and that one still burns in there. Unnamed texter said, I'm a traditionalist, and I understand April Marie Fogle's stance, but no one is driving my car but me, unless it's a long trip. Why be bothered by the other driver's preferences? Doesn't have meta said, the wife and I have taken turns driving in the past, mostly due to one being designated. Nowadays, I will drive until the wife starts her criticism of my driving. Then I give her the keys. I drive all day for a living. The wife is half blind. She distracts me pointing and cringing at cars in traffic that aren't even close to us. My drive... this is good. You're going to be in trouble. He said, my wife is driving so poorly over the years, did help me keep from being an alcoholic. I don't want to drink and drive, so I stopped overindulgence through the years. So there's a benefit, silver lining to it. All right. T-Bone said, I used to walk on the traffic side with my wife until I realized the reason. let's see. This texture says, manners are like Christianity. It's free and priceless. Lisa in Robertsdale said, oh my gosh, I drove my granny's baby blue Caprice Classic. You remember that? That was dad came home with that baby, what, 80, probably 85 or so? The company car, four doors. You could lay up there in the back portion where, like, parents today would cringe to even see that. You know, as kids, you're talking about the back seat, the ledge up there. You go lay up there, and then if they had to apply the brakes, you went rolling forward. But it was fun because you fell in the cushy seats in the back of the Caprice Classic and you laughed. Let's see. Ashley in Loosedale says, my husband's parents had a 75 Oldsmobile station wagon, white with brown interior, not a chick magnet. So, Ashley, from a lady's perspective, the boy comes rolling up in the 75 Oldsmobile station wagon. You weren't like, man, that's my guy. Let's see. CB Carl said, my high school ride was a 1970 four-door Delta 88, inherited from my grandmother. The girls couldn't wait to see the back seat. one of my buddies who didn't get delayed, it was older and didn't get delayed by 6 months for his driver's license. He had a 1976 Gran Torino, but it was the two door. And, you know, each door is like my grandmother used to have the Grand Marquis two door, and the doors were like 8 feet long each. There you go. Gary said, just want to give a shout out to Miss Leanna. Great job. Hoorah. I will say good job as well. I'll let you Marines say hoorah, but I second what Gary says out there. And you can get a sampling of all the things she does for us when you go to the Facebook page, and that is facebook.com/FMTalk1065. So check it out there. And she is the reason you get all those things that you're commenting on throughout the day. They're on there. All right, let's see. Let's go to the phones at 343-0106. And Matt is up first. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hey, Sean. Great hey, show as usual, man.
Thanks.
I think I must have had the best dad ever when I was when I was 14 up in Birmingham. My dad would let me take his car, his daily driver, and get gas for it on Sundays. And he had a 69 Camaro.
Oh,
and, man, I was in heaven. And drove that car forever. Took my driving test in it. Still in my garage today.
69 and, Camaro? I mean,
yep.
I'm driving
he bought it.
I'm driving a pickup truck, a long bed. Y'all picture this, babe. Two-wheel drive, not even four-wheel, two-wheel drive, long bed, bench seat, Dodge Ram, and you're driving a Camaro.
Well, you know, it was 78. They were just old cars then. He bought it in 1970. So, you know, there were a lot of them around.
That is cool.
Anyway.
That is cool. And you held on to it.
Today.
All right, man.
That's right. Best thing ever.
All right, good stuff, man. So that's, okay, you win on that one, on the cool vehicle, for sure. That's it's a big win. And I've never had, but that's one of the ones I would have. We've had this conversation before on the show. I've never had a car in my life. I've had SUVs or trucks my whole life. Never had a car, but if the kids are up and grown and all that kind of stuff, and I would have like a weekend Firebird or Camaro or something like that. I might be able to get into that. Now, I might not be able to get out of it. I've noticed when I get in people's sports cars, how if you're used to getting in and out of trucks, you don't develop the muscle. It seems like you're laying on the ground when you're in one of their sports cars and you go to get up. You're like, so maybe I'm gotten too old for that. Right. The Julian Assange story. And this is one that this is a great place, too, to go and look at the difference of opinions popping on social media about this. How do you see Julian Assange? Is he a true sayer, somebody who did what needed to be done, who pulled back the veil of what governments do behind closed doors, or is he somebody that, you know, put people and in danger, Americans in danger, others in danger? The story from NBC News says WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was released from a British prison and is on his way to a remote Pacific island on Tuesday, where he'll plead guilty to a conspiracy charge as part of a plea deal with the U.S. Justice Department, according to court documents. The agreement will free Assange and end the years-long battle over the publication of a trove of classified documents. It's interesting. I wonder how this deal was worked out, because for a long time, the idea was that if Assange was outside of that confinement, he might have a bad accident and die, right? That kind of idea that many governments out there wanted him dead. It says Assange was charged by criminal information, which typically signifies a plea deal, with conspiracy to obtain and disclose national defense information, according to court documents. WikiLeaks posted footage to Twitter of Assange boarding a plane at the Stansted Airport near London at 5 p.m. on Monday, so 12 p.m. Eastern in the States. A letter from the Justice Department official Matthew McKenzie said Assange would appear in court in the Northern Mariana Islands, a U.S.-controlled territory north of Guam, and at 9 a.m. local time there, because of course it's on the other side of the international dateline, to plead guilty. The plane believed to be carrying Assange landed early Tuesday in the Thai capital of Bangkok to refuel. He will later arrive for what could be a final court hearing after spending 5 years in a British jail. Remember that before, where was he? He was in the embassy, wasn't he? He was in the Ecuadorian embassy. Said the islands are 3,400 miles north of Australia, Assange's country of citizenship, where the Justice Department expects he will return following the proceedings. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said the case has dragged on for too long. There's nothing to be gained by his continued incarceration, and we want him brought home to Australia, end quote. I was wondering about that, too, if the Aussies, as some tip of the hat to the United States, would, but I guess he didn't do anything. I don't know if he would be able to be prosecuted in Australia, but doesn't look like it. So Julian Assange, he's going to be out. Your thoughts on that? Is it should he have been freed much sooner? Get your takes on those, or should he never have been freed? 343-0106, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, the segment of the show brought to you by Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. And let's talk service now. Whether you need that service done on your Yamaha Mercury outboards, you do the service yourself, you need Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. If they're going to do the service, feel good. Yamaha Master Tech on staff. 50 years in the business of working on boats. And the nice thing, too, is not only do you get your engine serviced, the work on everything from the bow to the stern. So not just getting the engines running correctly, but bilge pumps, running lights, steering, all that on the boat, having it just right when you go on the water. They do that at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. If you do the work yourself, I know Kelsey in the parts department. She is fantastic. You could call, I mean, you could just call her and give her the serial number to the engine, and she's going to have the parts you need. And if she doesn't, she did tell me, she said, hey, if for some reason, Sean, there's like some crazy part we don't have, if you call the order in before 11 o'clock in the morning, she can have the parts come in by the next day. So you're looking for parts to do your own work, whether you're looking for, you know, an impeller or something bigger, or even if you're trying to get the Yamalube and that you need for the boat or the oil, they've got all that at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, plus a bunch of new boats to check out while you're there as well. And do that. They're online, bluewateryachtsales.net. See them in Mobile on the Beltline or at Orange Beach Marina. All right, let's go to the phones first, and then we'll go to the text line. And first up, Fireball. Hey, Fireball.
Oh, John, ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck. How y'all doing?
I'm good, man. So what's up?
Y'all can eat your hearts out. I had two magnet cars.
Okay.
I had a 69 Mach 1.
Nice.
And I had a 78 D28 Camaro.
Man, you did have the sports cars, man.
Both of them were so fast, they'd outrun the word of the Lord with a Bible on the back seat. Let me tell you about a story about the 78 D28. My dad had two aunts, my great aunts, and both of them weighed over 300 pounds apiece.
I feel like this is a setup. I think I'm falling into a setup. Go ahead, Fireball.
No. This is a true story. So we was at church, and one aunt asked me to give her and her sister a ride home. Okay, the biggest one got in the back seat. Y'all, we all was dying laughing, me trying to get my great aunt out of the back seat of that Camaro. True story.
You had to winch her out, or what'd you do?
No, we just maneuvered her around till we got her out.
That's quite a thought.
Them two were laughing so hard, I could hardly get her out of the back seat. true story.
It's a heck of a story. Fireball, appreciate it, man. And I'm just picturing that. Thanks, I'm picturing that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if poured her into the back seat, now getting her out, that's a challenge. From the text line here, Charlie said, my mom couldn't get off in time to take me to the DMV to get my license, so I took my dad's other truck up there on my own. They asked where my parents were, and I pointed outside, and they said, okay. I took the test and passed, but the computers were down, and it took a week and a half to actually get my license. My mom said, I should be angry, but you passed, so I guess you get a pass. So you drove up without your license. Charlie, I understand that. I understand the desire back then to get your license. It's big time. Texture said, what's the problem on I-10? Haven't moved in over 30 minutes on the Bay Bridge. That's probably still a holdover there, Texture, from the eastbound Bayway, the accident earlier that had Life Flight out there. But they have opened that back up now. T-Bone said, I learned on my grandfather's Chevy 3 on the tree, between my jerking on the shifter and the quadruple clutching, the girls were mostly safe. Chris at Orange Beach said, on my 16th birthday, I rolled out in 1976 Grand Torino and a midnight blue with pearl white Starsky and Hutch stripe on a 351 Windsor. Way too much car for a 16-year-old. That's true. Even like the family cars back then just had muscle. Back to talking about Julian Assange. Let's see. Mr. Plant says he is married to an Australian woman, I guess. No, I don't think so. So Stella Assange, I think she is like Swedish or from Spain or something. I think her mom's from Spain or dad was Swedish or something like that. So I don't know that she's an Australian citizen. He goes on to say, if people think he's getting away with something, just remember every time he does anything that aggravates his wife, all she has to say is, well, why don't you ask Pamela Anderson what she thinks about it? Oh, my gosh. Martin said, I took driver's ed with a new 1968 Dodge Charger 383 and a Coronet 383. Took my test in my mom's 66 Chevy Caprice 396. Royal blue, black vinyl top, black interior. Made perfect on the test. There you go. And then Fireball Marty says this, and this is, you know, this is probably factual. To put you all together. Marty said Fireball was a Quaalude dealer. Anyone that had a 78 Camaro was a Quaalude dealer. Oh my gosh. We should do a whole show. Yeah. I wish I had some kind of cool muscle car for my first car, but no, it was the only thing I could do is if I was good and did all chores, mom had a Maxima that I could talk her into for date nights. It was a four-door white Maxima cloth interior, but it had a sunroof. Huh? Yeah, get that baby out and cassette player in it and the whole nine yards. So, but that was only for like a Saturday night date, right? The Assange thing. I don't know. It goes on to say, because people are asking, well, what's next? I don't know what's next. Once he gets in to Australia, that quote there in the story, it sounds like they're not going to prosecute. Australian Prime Minister said the case has dragged on for too long. There's nothing to be gained by his continued incarceration, and we want him brought home to Australia. I don't know if that means there's not anything more coming from this. But it's, and there it is. Assange had been held in the high-security Belmarsh prison in East London for 5 years, and he had previously spent 7 years in self-exile in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he reportedly fathered two children, until his asylum was withdrawn, and he forcibly carried out the embassy in 2019. So 12 years he's been, like, kind of inside. It's going to be interesting. Does he then show up? Does Assange start showing up on TV shows now? Is he? If I had a chance to book Assange on the show, I'd do everything I could. But I mean, does he end up on with Tucker or somebody like that? It's going to be interesting to see if he like goes into a life of quiet and stays out of the mainstream, or if he becomes the darling of podcasts and TV shows and all that out there. I'll be watching for it as well. The debate. I think I will. Somebody's asking if we're going to be live tweeting or live Xing, whatever it would be now, during the debate. I think I will. That's at FM Talk 106.5. Of course, that's coming up on Thursday as they take the debate stage. No studio audience. We've talked about that. No studio audience. And the mics are off when you're not the one talking. I think that's going to make it a little more boring. But that's there. But yeah, we probably will be, or that we being me, will be on the Twitter feed on Thursday night. You see this as people are prepping too. This is Trump's out campaigning, doing his thing while Biden's cramming for exams, I guess, at Camp David, and so he's prepping for the debate. We'll see what happens on Thursday night. I know this. Paul Feinbaum starts next. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Another edition of Midday Mobile right here at FM Talk 106.5. Y'all have a good one.